gotta clean up the mess. You know that's true. We gotta clean up the mess. I'm a telling you. We gotta clean up the mess. You know that's right. We gotta clean up the mess. Both day and both night. This mess has been a happening far and wide. This mess has been a hurting our nation's pride. This mess has gotta be cleaned up here today. We can't live this way.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Word of the Most High radio show. Yahweh is the wonderful counselor, and there is none that compares with him. I'm David James, and I'm your host. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as I was away, I read the book of Hosea. And I'm going to bring you the entire book in this series. And so here we go with part one. The word of Yahweh that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. The beginning of the word of Yahweh by Hosea. And Yahweh said to Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms, and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the father. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bared him a son. And Yahweh said unto him, call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. I do find it interesting, this is my second look at this now, and Jezreel, if I didn't know any better, it's like Jezreel, which is different than Israel. It has Jezebel and Israel mixed together. Only there's no A there, but that's how I read it. Because this is a son of whoredoms. Now, I know you find it very interesting that Yahweh would tell one of his prophets to take a wife of whoredoms, and children of whoredoms. And the reason he did it is in verse 2, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Father, from Yahweh. And it came to pass in that day that I will break the bow, or the bow, of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. And she conceived again and bare a daughter. And God said unto him, call her name Loruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and will save them by Yahweh, their God. I replace the word Lord because it means Baal, in case you're wondering. And will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. Now when she had weaned Loruhamah, she conceived and bare a son. Then said God, or Yahweh, call his name Loami, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. Now, I know that you're thinking that this is the divorce, and it is. But this divorce, as some believe today, they think it still exists, and that Yahweh has divorced the woman Israel and taken on the whole world and said, oh, you're my people. Well, that's not the truth at all. Guaranteed it's not, as we shall soon see. Verse 10, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea. Now let's stop there for a second. The white race was as the sand of the sea, weren't they? Have the Jews ever been? The number of the Jews, have they ever been as the sand of the sea? Absolutely not. So it said, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place, listen, this is what I'm talking about. It shall come to pass that in the place where it was sent unto them, unto whom? Unto Israel, ye are not my people. There it shall be said unto them, who? Israel, ye are the sons of the living God. I mean, after all, we are the sons of the living God. The Adamic race is the literal offspring of Yahweh. Verse 11. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head. And they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. Or you could say Jezreel, but I believe it's Jezreel. Or Yezreel, which is different than Yisrael, right? So, very interesting. You might think it's contradictive. And for those Judeo-Christians that want to think that the children of Judah are the Jews, nay, 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 nay. Let's move to the next chapter. Say unto your brethren, Ammi, and to your sisters, Ruhamah, plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. He's speaking of Israel. See, this is a representation of what's happening. You see, he is saying now that Israel, he's divorcing the people of Israel because of their whoredoms. And she is no longer, she, Israel, is no longer her wife, his wife, excuse me. Neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked. He's speaking to Israel, lest I strip her naked and set her as in the day that she was born and make her as a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst. Verse 4, and I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms. Ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, it may just be that we are the children of whoredoms. And we wonder why. You might have questions. You might say, why does God let this happen in our nation? Why does God, well, why do we let it happen? That's one good answer. But another good question, I should say. However, people want to make God or Yahweh responsible for all the evil that's taking place in the nations and say, well, why does he let this happen? I've questioned that myself. Why does he let it happen? Well, you may have your answer here in verse 4 again, and I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms. For their mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully, for she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. Who are her lovers today? Who do our women go after? Rich Jews? And they believe that these rich Jews, with the money that they've stolen, give them their bread and their water, their wool and their flax, their oil and their drink. Not to mention all the bling bling. What does Yahweh say then? Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her paths. Now that's very interesting, because we are kicking against the thorns. The thorns, in my view, represent the Jews. Notice how a rose, a beautiful flower, which also has the female and male within it, has thorns about it. You go to pick the beautiful flower and you get stuck with the evil thorns. See, these thorns are making it so that the woman Israel cannot find her paths to righteousness, her paths to goodness, her paths to love, her paths to health, her paths to wealth. Because it's all hedged up by Jews. They even call them hedge funds, don't they? Yes. Number 7, verse 7. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then it was better with me than now. I mean, that is just loaded right there, this verse. How many women do you know that follow after lover after lover after lover? Even men do it, right? And when they cannot overtake them, you see, she couldn't overtake them, the Jews, or in her personal life, she couldn't overtake the man that she's her lover. She couldn't run the show. You see, there's many depths to this verse as far as I'm concerned. I see many, many. I don't know if you do, but I definitely do. Women today, and probably men as well, although the men are a lot more loyal. They are with one person, and they're always seeking to jump to another that is in an even better position. It's like, you know, you meet somebody that's somewhat well off, and you meet some of his friends, and then you find out that some of them are a lot more well off. So then you jump to one of his friends, and then one of his associates or friends happens to be somebody who's even more well off than he. You see the ladder? So verse 7, and she shall follow. But this is talking about Israel herself, but also the people of Israel. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but shall not find them. So all of a sudden she has nobody to rely on now. So what does she do? She looks behind. And he says here, then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then it was better than with me than now. Now this does happen as well. But this is also talking about Israel. You see, Israel has gone after whoredoms. You know how Mystery Babylon gets the nations to drink of her cup of abominations? That's whoredoms. And so then Israel will all of a sudden say, well, let me return to Yahweh, because it was better when I was with him than it is with me now. Verse 8, for she did not know that I gave her corn. This is Yahweh speaking. Israel did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. What does happen to our corn and wine and oil and our silver and gold? It is stolen from us by the thorns, by the Jews, by her lovers. You see, after a while, Israel forgets where everything comes from. Like Nebuchadnezzar forgot that Yahweh is the one that gave him the kingdom. It wasn't because of himself or his own greatness or anything. She forgot, you see. Verse 8 again. For she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. The Lord, you see. Therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax given to cover her nakedness. You see, the Father gives us all these things we take for granted. Many people have perfect eyesight, and they don't realize what a gift that is. They don't know that the food and their house of plenty came from Yahweh. It was his blessing upon them. She thinks that all the things that she gets comes from the Jew or the thorns or her lovers. Verse 10. And now will I discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of mine hand. I will also cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, and her Sabbaths, and all her solemn feasts. Do we see now that our mirth in America has ceased to a great degree? Do we participate in the feast days anymore? Do we even participate in the Sabbath? Verse 12. And I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, whereof she hath said, these are my rewards that my lovers have given me. And I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them. Do we see our sustenance being eaten up? Are our vines being destroyed? You see, we don't know where everything comes from. We have forgotten. And so the thorns shall block the paths that make our ways. You see? He says, I will make them a forest. You know, the vines and fig trees. And the beasts of the field shall eat them instead of us. And even, you know, there is definitely something that's going on in America where we see the two-legged beasts of the field are eating our substance. Don't we see that? Verse 13. And I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense to them, and she decked herself with earrings and her jewels. And she went after her lovers and forgot me, saith Yahweh. Don't you see how we've hurt the Father? We are his children. We are his offspring, his family, and we have gone to devils and given them the glory. We believe that devils are the ones that give us our sustenance. That's what he's saying here. He has every right to be angry with his wife because she's been a wife of whoredoms. And when you have a wife who betrays you, you give her a divorce. Verse 14, therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. And I will give her her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be at that day, saith Yahweh, that thou shalt call me Ishi, and shalt call me no more Baali. Now, I have explained this before. You see, even though we have done all we have done to him and hurt his feelings and hurt him deeply as our father, he still has mercy and love for his children. That's what he's saying in verse 15. You see, we've been calling him Lord for a long time because somebody tricked us into calling him Baal. When he said that thou shalt call me Ishi, and shalt call me no more Baali. See, again, what he's saying is though he has divorced Israel, the marriage will come back together, and we as Israel shall call him husband, and shall call him no more Lord or Baali. Verse 17, I've been trying to encourage you not to use the word Lord. Listen to what he says here. For I will take away the names of Balaam out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. You see, that's what I've been trying to do to you, people of Israel. I've been trying to tell you to take the word Lord out of your mouth and call him by his real name. There are those who have listened. There are those who have not listened. There are those who have it so deeply seated in them that they can't overcome it for some reason. How would you like if the Father called you, "Hi, my son, the devil. How are you doing today?" I don't think you'd like that too much, would you? How would you like it if your dad called you devil? "Hello, my child, the devil." "No, my name's not devil, Dad. My name is David." "No, hey, how you doing, devil?" Verse 18. "And in that day I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven and with the creeping things of the ground, and I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth and will make them to lie down safely." Now, that's not talking about the beasts of the field with two legs necessarily, okay? "However, the lamb shall lay down with the lion, and there will be no more war. There'll be no need of it in his kingdom." You see, the marriage supper of the Lamb is the rejoining of the bride to the Father. And we saw a shade of that, or I shouldn't say shade, I should say a glimpse of it, in the Last Supper with Christ and the disciples. The only one who wasn't supposed to be at the feast or didn't belong at the feast was Judas, because he was an Edomite and he was a betrayer. We'll have no more betrayers when the kingdom comes. Because Yahweh is picking people that love him for him and truly want to be with him, truly want to obey him, truly love his counsel, truly love him for himself. You see, the devil at the table was kicked out of the Last Supper because he didn't belong. He was told to leave. In the same way as the devil, his father, that would not worship the image of God, which was Adam, was hurled out of heaven, and those that were with him were hurled out as well. Now, make no mistake that those angels left their first estate just like the other angels that left their first estate, and they are being reserved in chains until the day of judgment. Their spirit can't return to the Father. And you have to realize also that in the same way as those angels linked up with the devil and betrayed Yahweh and fought against Yahweh and were also hurled down by Michael the Archangel and the angels of Yahweh's army, there are those today that I have told you about many times that have linked up. They're our people, they're Yahweh's offspring, and they have linked up with the devil and the devil's offspring. And they too shall never return because they are an abomination, like those angels. They have rebelled against Yahweh and his kingdom and his children's kingdom and his children. They shall in no wise return, because they have put themselves in the pen with the goats. They have made clear-cut decisions to whom they serve. And there will be no more sorry lot than those on the left, those in with the goats. I can promise you that. Verse 19, and I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. You see, who is our righteousness? Why, it's him. Who teaches us how to judge? And who will judge us? Why, it will be him. I just never noticed this the last time I read this, but it's amazing. Verse 19, verse 20. And I will betroth thee unto me forever. This is when we go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And the bride will no longer call him Baal, Lord. We'll call him husband, Ishi. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know me. You see, we are required to obey and be faithful. We are replacing, in my view of things, I have said this before, I'll mention it to you in case you've never heard me say this. I believe that those angels that left their first estate need to be replaced. But Yahweh's not going to replace them with just angels. He's going to replace them with those that have been faithful to him, that have obeyed him, that have done this willingly, not against their own will. That would be no good if they were doing it against their own will. And he's going to replace them with his own offspring. Verse 21, and it shall come to pass in that day, I will hear, saith Yahweh, I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth. And the earth shall hear the corn and the wine and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel. And I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say unto them which were not my people, thou art my people, and they shall say, thou art my God. Now let us not confuse something here. You see, I know that you could say, oh, he divorced Israel, and now he's saying, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say unto them which weren't my people, which is all the other families of the earth, thou art my people, and they shall say, thou art my God. No, 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 no. This is Israel. See, there had been a time when she had not received mercy from the Father, because he said he wouldn't have mercy on the children of whoredoms. And he told them they were not his people anymore because they had been divorced. But now he's saying, listen closely and you'll understand exactly what I'm trying to tell you. And I will sow her unto me in the earth. So also if he sows her, he shall reap her. And I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say to them, the people of Israel, which were not my people, thou art my people. In other words, again, you are now my people again because of my mercies. And they shall say, thou art my God. It's very simple, very clear. You can't twist it to mean something else it doesn't mean. Hosea chapter 3. Then said Yahweh unto me, go yet, and he's speaking to Hosea, go yet, love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of Yahweh toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. Now he's going to define something here. He's going to be speaking to Ephraim. And this is what we're going to see. Again, let me read this. Then said Yahweh unto me, Hosea, go yet, love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of Yahweh towards the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine, heavy drinkers, worshippers of other gods. So I brought her to me for 15 pieces of silver and for an homer of barley and an half of homer of barley. And I said unto her, thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot. Thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee. So in other words, they're going to be true to each other. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, and without teraphim. Afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek Yahweh their God, and David their king, and shall fear Yahweh and his goodness in the latter days. I believe what it means about David their king in the latter days is that his throne would be there. Chapter 4. Hear the word of Yahweh, ye children of Israel. For Yahweh hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of Yahweh in the land. By swearing, and lying, and killing, and stealing, and committing adultery, they break out, and blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of the heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea shall also be taken away. Do you see that the population of the sea is diminishing very quickly? Do you see that the fowls of heaven, we've seen many of them drop? We're seeing a 2% drop per year of the animal or the beast of the field population. as well as the sea. I don't know what the percentage of that is, but they're disappearing. So listen to this again. Therefore, because of the swearing, the lying, the killing, the stealing, the committing adultery, they break out, and blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish, with the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of heaven, yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive, nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with a priest. Therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. Verse 6. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no more priest to me. Seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. These are the children of whoredoms. Notice that there's another one, my people perish for the lack of knowledge, right? Well, this one says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. What have I told you? If you do not love the truth, you will be destroyed. If you do not seek the truth, you shall not be set free. I've explained to you many times, what is the truth? You'll be set free from what? You've heard me say all these things, correct? You see, if you seek the truth, you'll be free from the lies. You'll be free from being destroyed for the lack of knowledge. You will understand wisdom, and wisdom will give you long life. And of course, if you hate the truth, okay, I want you to understand this now. I want you to think about what I'm telling you. I told you that the Jews hate the truth, right? When Yeshua told the Jews the truth, they rejected that truth. They hated that truth. Therefore, he rejected them, didn't he? Let's listen again, verse 6. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. See, if you reject knowledge, you rejected Yahweh. You rejected the word of God, who became flesh and dwelt among us. If you are antichrist, and you hate the truth, and you want to shut it down, you will be rejected, because you have rejected the Father himself. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, and thou shalt be no more priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, or the law of Yahweh. I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. Have our children of the white race, are they full of glory anymore? Or are they full of shame because of whom they have followed, of whom they have let influence them, instead of having a propensity towards the truth and Yahweh and knowledge and wisdom? They eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquity. And there shall be like people, like priest, and I will punish them for their ways and reward them their doings. You see, the false religions of today that have the devil or Jewish Jesuses and Jewish gods in the sky, those aren't Yahweh. Those have nothing to do with Yahweh. And those priests will be punished for their ways. Many of our people are those priests, and they shall be punished for teaching an abomination and doctrines of devils, and for betraying Yahweh, betraying their race, betraying the gospel. They've come preaching another gospel. And the Apostle Paul had said, if any man or anyone come teaching another gospel than the one we have given you, let him be accursed. The Jews do not teach any gospel that has anything to do with what Paul taught. They are teaching a different gospel, but they're really not teaching it to the world, but they are accursed. See, they're teaching it through to the world through those priests he's speaking of here, those priests who are false, in false religions, in abomination religions, like Judeo-Christianity. That's not real Christianity. That's not the gospel that Paul preached. That's another gospel. If any man come preaching another gospel than the one that we have given to you, let him be accursed. If the Jews are preaching a gospel, they're doing it through Judeo-Christianity. They've Judaized and brought in doctrines of devils, because that's what the Talmud is, doctrines of devils. It's literal demonology. They are accursed. You understand that? They were not only accursed when they were their father Cain, but they are accursed yet again and again and again and again for the bloodshed, for the theft, for the unrighteousness, for the false doctrines, for the lies, and for preaching false gospels, the Jews. You see, they are the Antichrist that John spoke about. They were already in the world. And they claim they are the Messiah. See, the Jews aren't waiting for a man to come to be the Antichrist Messiah. They are the Messiah. They are the Antichrist. So if you're preaching the Judeo-Christian gospel, you are preaching another gospel than the one that the Apostle Paul spoke of. And therefore, you are accursed. You have done this to yourself, and why? Because you rejected knowledge. You didn't seek for the truth to find out what the truth is in Yahweh's word. You didn't know the things that I've been preaching to you, that I've been telling to you. I sought for them and found them. Glory to Yahweh. But he said if I would seek, I would find the truth. Ye, on the other hand, Judeo-Christian pastor, you have sought for nothing. You have accepted the easy road, have accepted teachings that were given to you that you couldn't even think up yourself, that are not inspired by the Holy Spirit, but inspired through deviltry and devils and doctrines of devils. Yes, I am accusing you. Yes, Yahweh is accusing you. Verse 6 again, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. You have rejected the truth of the gospel. You have rejected Jesus Christ and accepted Judaism. Judaism is evil. You have rejected the Father. You have rejected the Word of God, yet you think you are adhered to it. But because you have not sought the truth, you have not found the truth. And therefore, you will perish and be destroyed for your lack of knowledge, for your lack of discipline, for your lack of seeking the truth. So in verse 9 again, and there shall be like people, like priests, and I shall punish them for their ways and reward them their doings. For they eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase, because they have left off to take heed to Yahweh. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. That just happens to be verse 11. By no coincidence. And then in verse 12, he talks about his people, which 12 is the number of Israel. It's very interesting. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. You see, what it means by that verse is that your conscience is seared. Your mind is dulled. You are no longer sensitive to Yahweh and the fact that maybe you have sinned and it doesn't mean much to you anymore. So you don't repent. You don't say you're sorry. You don't seem to care, because whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. My people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them. For the spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God. You see, let me explain to you a little bit about that. When you go to a lawyer, a Jew or Freemason lawyer, and you ask for his counsel, or you go to anybody but Yahweh for your counsel, unless they're a man of God, a true man of God, or a true woman of God, so to speak, but I'd say man of God mainly, then you have subjected yourself to the counselors of hell. Rather than having enough wisdom to go after the counsel from Yahweh. My people ask counsel at their stocks, like stocks and bonds, and their staff declareth unto them. You know, advice about what to do with your money, about advice what to do. Yeah, throw it in the market so we can steal it off you. I don't know if that stocks means that, but it certainly fits the scenario. For the spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from their God, from Yahweh. They sacrifice upon the tops of the mountains and burn incense upon the hills, under oaks and poplars and elms, because the shadow thereof is good. The shadow. Shades. Therefore your daughters shall commit whoredom, and your spouses shall commit adultery. Is that happening today, ladies and gentlemen? Why is that happening? Because we have not sought Yahweh's counsel. We have not sought the truth. We have not sought wisdom and understanding. We have rejected knowledge. We had rejected Yahweh. We have sacrificed to all kinds of gods rather than Yahweh. And therefore, your daughters shall commit whoredom, and your spouses shall commit adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses when they commit adultery. For themselves are separated with whores, and they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore the people that doth not understand shall fall. You understand now? See how that all hooks up? My people perish for the lack of knowledge, you see? And because they don't understand, they shall fall. They shall be destroyed. Though thou, Israel, play the harlot, yet let not Judah offend, and come not ye to Gilgal, neither go ye up to Bethaven, nor swear that Yahweh liveth. For Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. Now Yahweh will feed them as a lamb in a large place. Ephraim, this is England now, this is very important now, because this is what it's all about, the whoredoms. And Manasseh is the brother of Ephraim, but this is only speaking of Ephraim. Yet it could be that we are in the same position in America, and we are the children of whoredoms. It is very possible. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Their drink is sour. They have not committed whoredom. They have committed whoredom continually. Her rulers with shame do love. Give ye. You know, when they go into the drink flagons of wine or whatever you want to call it, they say, give me a pint of bitter. Their drink is sour. They have committed whoredom continually. Her rulers with shame do love. Give ye. You give to these leaders, these rulers of shame that have shame, and you love these leaders and give to them. Give to them honor, give to them glory, give to them money, give to them respect, etc., etc. The wind hath bound up her in her wings, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices. How is Ephraim doing today? Is it ashamed? We'll see more. Let's go to chapter 5. Hear ye this, O priests, and hearken, ye house of Israel, and give ye ear, O house of the king, for judgment is toward you, because ye have been a snare in Mizpah, and a net spread upon Tabor. And the revolters are profound to make slaughter, though I have been a rebuker of them all. Now this is the father. Listen, I know Ephraim, and Israel is not hid from me. For now, O Ephraim, thou committest whoredom, and Israel is defiled. They will not frame their doings to turn unto their God, for the spirit of whoredoms is in the midst of them, and they have not known Yahweh. You see, the spirit of whoredoms would be Freemasonry, Jewry, false gods, paganism. Let me read the verse again, verse 4. They will not frame their doings to turn unto their God, for the spirit of whoredoms is in the midst of them, and they have not known Yahweh. And the pride of Israel doth testify to his face. Therefore shall Israel and Ephraim fall in their iniquity. Judah also shall fall with them. They shall go with their flocks and with their herds to seek Yahweh, but they shall not find him. He hath withdrawn himself from them. He certainly has, if he has said, you are no longer my people, and he has said that you are now given a divorce, and I want my things back that I have supplied to you. He certainly has withdrawn himself from Ephraim and all of us. They have dealt treacherously against Yahweh, for they have begotten strange children. Race mixing. Now shall a moth, I think this is supposed to be a moth, but I'm not sure. It says, now shall a month devour them with their portions. So because he speaks of the moth later, so I'm not sure if that's a typo or whatever. Blow ye the cornet in Gibeah and the trumpet in Ramah. Cry aloud at Bethaven after thee, O Benjamin. Ephraim shall be desolate in the day of rebuke. Among the tribes of Israel have I made known that which shall surely be. What is happening to Ephraim right now? The princes of Judah were like them that removed the bound. Therefore I will pour out my wrath upon them like water. Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment because he willingly walked after the commandment. Therefore will I be unto Ephraim as a moth and to the house of Judah as rottenness. When Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah saw his wound, then went Ephraim to the Assyrian and sent to King Jareb, yet he could not heal you, nor cure you of your wound. For I will be unto Ephraim as a lion, and as a lion to take, as a lion to the house of Judah. I, even I, will tear and go away. I will take away, and none shall rescue him. I want you to think about this for a moment. For I will be unto Ephraim as a lion. We see the lions of Babylon in the UK, and we know that the Rothschilds from the city of London, within the city of London, has destroyed them. Don't we know that? For I will be unto Ephraim as a lion, and as a young lion to the house of Judah. Even I will tear and go away. Now Ephraim was torn up by the house of Judah too. Germany tore them up somewhat. Not as much as they would have hadn't Hitler been merciful. I will take away and none shall rescue him. Ephraim used to own all kinds of territories because Hebrew means colonizer. I will take away and none shall rescue him. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. And in their affliction, they shall seek me early. Chapter 6. Come and let us return unto Yahweh, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know Yahweh or know the truth, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as a morning cloud, and as the early dew it goeth away. Therefore have I hewn them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and thy judgments are as the light that goeth forth. For I desired mercy. I desired mercy, says Yahweh, and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. But they, like men, have transgressed the covenant. There have they dealt treacherously against me. Gilead is a city of them that work iniquity, and is polluted with blood. And as troops of robbers wait for a man, So the company of priests murder in the way by consent, for they commit lewdness. I have seen an horrible thing in the house of Israel. There is the whoredom of Ephraim. Israel is defiled. Also, O Judah, he hath set an harvest for thee. And when I returned the captivity of my people, I'm going to say that again. Also, O Judah, he hath set an harvest for thee when I returned the captivity of my people. Chapter 7. When I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered, and the wickedness of Samaria. For they commit falsehood, and the thief cometh in, and the troop of robbers spoileth without. And they consider not in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. See, think about that for a moment. I mean, that's how all of us are from time to time, right? Well, certainly people that know Yahweh do consider that. But the general person on the street doesn't. And they consider not in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Now their own doings have beset them about. They are before my face. Their doings are before Yahweh's face. Our doings are before Yahweh's face. They make the king glad with their wickedness and the princes with their lies. Certainly in the UK, the king and the queen are glad with the Freemasonic control mechanism over there. And the princes are full of lies, right? So it says in verse 3, they make the king glad with their wickedness and the princes with their lies. They are all adulterers, as an oven heated by the baker, who ceaseth from not raising after he kneadeth the dough until it be leavened. In the day of our king, the princes have made him sick with bottles of wine. He stretched out his hand with scorners. You know, he's shaken hands with scorners. You see the leaders of the world shaking hands with these filthy, rotten, murderous Jews? They stretcheth out their hand to shake hands with scorners. In the day of our king, the princes have made him sick with bottles of wine. He stretched out his hand with scorners. For they have made ready their heart like an oven. Whilst they lie, in wait. Their baker sleepeth all night. In the morning it burneth as a flaming fire. They are all hot as an oven, and have devoured their judges. All their kings are fallen. There is none among them, that calleth unto me. You see? There was a lot of people, kings and princes, that had killed kings to get into those thrones. They lay in wait for one another. Just like in Rome. He said, they are all as hot as an oven and have devoured their judges. Yes, just like in America, Freemasonry has taken control over the whole legal system. The judges are filth. They are facsimiles. They're not real judges. They're liars, accomplices, deceivers, people that are full of whoredoms, they're corrupt, and full of judgments that are false measures, false weights and measures. And as all this is happening, he says of Ephraim, there is none among them that calleth unto me. Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. In other words, he's half-baked. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Strangers have devoured his strength, the Jews, and now the strangers that come in their lands. And he knoweth it not. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth not. Just like our populations are, the whites are gray-haired now, and the youth is harder to find. Strangers have devoured his strength, and he knoweth it not. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth it not. He's not aware of himself. Ephraim doesn't know who he is. He doesn't even know he has gray hairs upon him. That's how aware he is. He's half-baked. And the pride of Israel testifieth to his face, and they do not return to Yahweh their God, nor seek him for all this. Ephraim also is like a silly dove without heart. They call to Egypt, they go to Assyria. When they shall go, I will spread my net upon them. I will bring them down as fowls of the heaven. I will chastise them as their congregation hath heard. Woe unto them, for they have fled from me. Destruction unto them, because they have transgressed against me. Though I have redeemed them, yet they have spoken lies against me. You see, this is something that bothers me, and we see this. He's telling you that he has done nothing but good to Israel and to Ephraim. Yet, even though he has redeemed us even, Ephraim has spoken lies against him. It's the same as the blacks. We do nothing but good to them, and they return nothing but evil and more evil. Exponentially. Returning evil for good. Woe unto anybody that returns evil for good. Believe me, and if you're returning evil to the Father and he has done you good, you are cooked. Verse 14. And they have not cried unto me with their heart. When they howled upon their beds, they assemble themselves for corn and wine, and they rebel against me. Did you know the Freemasons do that all the time too? That they use corn, wine, and oil in their, when they dedicate buildings and so on and so forth? I just thought I'd give you that little mention. Though I have bound and strengthened their arms, yet do they imagine mischief against me. They return, but not to the Most High. They are like a deceitful bow. Their princes shall fall by the sword for the rage of their tongue. This shall be their derision in the land of Egypt. Now, understand that when he says returning to the land of Egypt, and he says this shall be their derision in the land of Egypt, as far as I'm concerned, he's talking about they're back to being slavery. They're back to the slavery they were in Egypt. I don't really believe he means they're returning to Egypt, you see. But they're returning to the slavery that Yahweh had once delivered us from. as we are slaves in America today. We're in Egypt, in a sense, again. Only this is Babylon. We're in Babylon again. Chapter 8. Set the trumpet to thy mouth. He shall come as an eagle against the house of Yahweh, because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law. Israel shall cry unto me, my God, we know thee. Israel hath cast off the thing that is good. The enemy shall pursue him. Is that happening right now? Have we cast off the thing that is good? Yes, we have. And is the enemy, the beast of the field, and the Jews, which are also beasts of the field, do they not pursue us daily? Four, they have set up kings, but not by me. Like the governments we have set up. And we have not done it by Yahweh. And look what happens when we don't do it by his way. Look at your Congress today. Look at these false kings. These filthy defilers. These liars. These traitors. He says, they have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and their gold, they have made them idols, just like when we came out of Egypt, that they may be cut off because of it. You see, speaking of Israel, of their silver and their gold, they have made them idols, that they may be cut off. You know, when Yahweh took us out of Israel, he promised us to go to the promised land. Yet because of all the filthy things that we did and all the murmuring, and because we built a golden calf with the gold that he gave us, he took the long way around. So instead of just going to the promised land, if you were a younger lad, you would make it there by the time 40 years was going to happen. You were going to be an old man. And if you were an old man, you were probably going to die on the journey. Verse 5, thy calf, O Samaria, has cut thee off. Mine anger is kindled against them. How long will it be ere they attain to innocency? For from Israel was it also. The workman made it. Therefore it is not God, but the calf of Samaria shall be broken in pieces. You know, also remember when the 10 tribes were there, they also made golden calves. And they would put people in the priesthood that did not belong in the priesthood, that were not qualified to be in the priesthood. Therefore, they were an abomination. For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stock. The bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the strangers shall swallow it up. Hello! That's your beast of the field, the strangers, people that don't belong in your land, that they tell you belong in your land. Israel is swallowed up. Now shall they be among the Gentiles as a vessel wherein is no pleasure. Gentiles meaning the nations, not people, the nations. These are vessels which have very little pleasure for those of us that know the truth. Aren't they? Hasn't Israel been swallowed up by these strangers? By these Jews we led in our land that are cursed of Yahweh. They are cursed, and yet we let them enjoy the land of milk and honey and all the delicacies and everything, and we get none of those things. They don't deserve to be in our nation. They are accursed of Yahweh. Understand that? I don't know how much it's going to take, how many times you need to hear this before it finally dawns on you what is being said and what has always been in front of your eyes. But that is the way it is. They come knocking on the door of your nation, so to speak, full of tears, telling you how they've been persecuted by your brothers and sisters. Now, have you ever thought to get in contact with your brothers and sisters and say, well, what happened? Why did you kick them out? Oh, they did this to you? Oh, you're not coming in here. Take a hike. No, we are merciful people. And when somebody evokes our feelings through tears, which are a weapon to be used against us, we let them in. And now what has come of letting them into our nation? What has come of the Jew being allowed to enter into our nation? What has come of it? Why, they want to kick our God out of our nation. They want to bring all kinds of abominations into our nation, including their Talmud. They want to steal everything we have, everything we own, not allow private property ownership, not allow people to be sovereign citizens. And I could go on all day and all night about what they have done to our nations. I can't believe that you can't see this is going on, that this is right in front of your face. And I cannot believe that you are this blind to it. They did say they put a spell on America, these Jews. And they are involved in demonology, the Kabbalah, and all kinds of filth, the Zohar, and all kinds of filthiness, all kinds of satanic things, including black magic. And they have put a spell on you, obviously, because you can't see that they're the ones that have done all these things. So in verse 9, for they are all gone up to Assyria, a wild ass alone by himself. Ephraim hath hired lovers. Yea, though they have hired among the nations, you know how they hired all kinds of armies to fight against America and other nations? Now will I gather them, and they shall sorrow a little for the burden of the king of princes. Because Ephraim hath made many altars to sin, altars shall be unto him to sin. Think about that. Because Ephraim hath made many altars to sin, the altars themselves shall be unto him sin. In other words, the churches. I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. They sacrifice flesh for the sacrifices of mine offerings and eat it. But Yahweh accepteth them not. Now will he remember their iniquity and visit their sins. They shall return to Egypt, meaning bondage, meaning what's happening to them today. For Israel hath forgotten his maker and buildeth temples, and Judah hath multiplied fenced cities. But I will send a fire upon his cities, and it shall devour the palaces thereof. Can you say Dresden? For Israel hath forgotten his maker and buildeth temples, and Judah hath multiplied fenced cities, but I will send a fire upon his cities, and it shall devour the palaces thereof. Can you say World War II, post-World War II Germany? You've been listening to the Word of the Most High radio show. I'm David James, and until next time, praise him.
We gotta clean up the mess. You know that's true. We gotta clean up the mess. I'm a-telling you. We gotta clean up the mess. You know that's right. We gotta clean up the mess. Both day and both night. This mess has been a-happening far and wide. This mess has been a-hurting our nation's pride. This mess has gotta be cleaned up here today.